Welcome back to the program. It's 14 minutes to 12. Plenty still coming up, all the issues to discuss, including replaying some of Nathan Buckley from last night, his fascinating chat in the Superbox. We'll discuss his future coming up. But Stephen Trigg has been good enough to join us. He's across town in the MCG SEN box. We're here at Etihad. The CEO of Carlton joins us. Stephen, good morning to you.
G'day, Hutto. And I can tell you it's absolutely beautiful here. The sun shines out and stadium looks beautiful.
Well, funnily enough, it's beautiful here too at Etihad Stadium. The roof is open.
Sure.
We were quite shocked, Robbo, weren't we? The sun was in our eyes.
It was.
Coming in. But you must be overall, I know you had a little bit of a hiccup last Sunday, but overall you must be pretty pleased with the way the club has tracked through this season.
We are, Hutto. Our progress is reasonably obvious, I think. You know, it's just 5 wins out of 13 games, but in all but a couple we've been right in it, and I think probably there's another 3 or 4 besides that 5 where at some stage, you know, we've led at some stage in the last quarter. But we're developing the young talent as we committed to do, go to the draft, select young talent. We think we've selected it well and develop it in an elite manner and coach it in an elite manner. And look, it's coming on. It's a bit vulnerable at times. As you can see, we get a bit ragged within some games and a little from week to week. But I think it's also fair to say, and I hope you agree, that we're harder to play against. We're better defensively and we are improving both as a list and as a team in terms of performance. So yeah, from my perspective, from our club's perspective, we're pleased with the progress.
So even though you haven't won as many games as last year at this time, you still feel like that, you know, the progress, you're in a much better position 12 months on than what you were last year?
I think at the start of the year, Hutto, there would be a certain logic to the fact that we may not have won as many games at the midway point, given we'd ratcheted back the age and the experience on the list a little further than 2016. So there's a bit of logic to that, but what's really delighted us, and it's in part reflected in 4 Rising Star nominations, but it's the development of the youth that's really been most pleasing. And when I say that, at the same time, our senior group have been exceptional. But I think this is the crux of it, though, is that you can see that we still lack a bit of depth on that list. At one stage, about a month ago, we had 1 injury. We've now got 7 or 8, and you can just see that scratches a bit hard at us at the moment. And as we said a couple of years ago, we need to improve the depth. We are improving it, but we've got a bit of distance to go yet.
I want to talk about 2 players, one at your club and one not at your club, Triggy. One at your club is Levi Casbolt. He's had a pretty solid year, Levi, and there's football clubs screaming out for a big log to get on it down the line and be that sort of that pack mark, that pack contester, and he's been linked. Not linked, I mean, media does this. Richmond would love Levi Casbolt. So-and-so would love Levi Casbolt. Where is he in negotiations? Can you tell us, how confident are you that he'll stay at Carlton, or have you a battle ahead?
I'd say it's going to be an interesting ride, because all of that's normal, Robbo, in the sense that he's a free agent. And so his management, and he is perfectly entitled to let it sit in terms of a contract renewal until the end of the season and see what happens. I think if I was a player manager, I'd probably be inclined to pull the same rein. So I understand it, we understand it. On the flip side, and this is an easy thing to say, all that we know and understand of Levi is that his heart is with Carlton. And he wishes to stay. So that's a genuine position at the moment, but I think he's entitled to see how the rest of the season goes. We're really confident of him staying, and, you know, like a number of other players around the competition in that position, we'll knuckle down to it at the end of the season.
Is he in that sort of category that, given all the changes and the extra money, that's in that difficult one to assess what he's actually worth for a club?
I think there's a bit in that. I think there's a bit in that. I mean, we're reasonably clear where it fits with us, and we'd be prepared to talk that through at the moment. But if his management want to wait, as I say, we understand.
The other one is Josh Kelly, and I understand, Triggy, that you're going to be reluctant to talk about a player at another club. He's not your property. But Jonathan Brown put Carlton on the agenda on the couch a couple of weeks ago. We know St Kilda are in there. We know North Melbourne's in there. I wouldn't be surprised if several other clubs are in there. How does a club like Carlton, A, decide We're ready to go. We've done enough drafting of the kids. We're ready to go. Secondly, how do you then approach it? How does the club then approach it? Do you speak to Paul Connors and say, righto, Paul, we're really interested in Josh Kelly. Do you talk, what's the chances of getting him out of there? And if it is, if he does want to leave, what's the ballpark figure? How far do you have to go before you can go to the board and say, right, this is the situation. Are we going to commit 5 years at $1.2 million?
It's a great question, and you're quite right, is that I'm really strong on the fact that we gain nothing as a club by talking about a certain or particular individual. So, I mean, you'd expect, Robbo, that answer, but I'm happy to be a bit more prescriptive in that we... And I think there's a broad answer and a more specific one. The broad answer, firstly, is that, you know, nothing's changed from when we embarked on a redevelopment of our list effectively 18 months ago. Go to the next three drafts and take youth, develop youth, and build something that lasts. Now, nothing's changed in that regard, even though, per a moment ago, we're talking about how delighted we are with the progress of our young talent. So whatever we do at the end of this year, we need to hold our nerve on it that says, true to label, go to the draft, and if in fact we get in the trading scenario, as we've done a little over the last couple of years, it will be for youth. So, you know, if a Kelly or any other player of that calibre fits that late teens, early 20s, for us to develop the underbelly of youth on our list, then obviously we're open-minded about that. Now, I'm not speaking specifically about any individual. In terms of the other bit, Robbo, about how you go about it, I mean, our board, executive, coaching group, everyone's aligned in the overarching strategy. The simplicity of the answer is when we are ready to spend that money, and we will have created some space, I can confirm that, it will be for youth, and it will be as a collaborative throughout the club, and it will be with all the foresight that we can muster in terms of what our list looks like in 3, 4, 5 years. So you are
going for him then?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it would be negligent of us not to be speaking to every single available young talent that's coming out of contract or is available to see what our options are.
So what's your role? Soss is doing the football side. And I know you're a sort of footy CEO more than just a number CEO, Steve. So do you have a say? Does the CEO say, well, you know what, I don't reckon... He's not a bad player, Kelly, but I don't reckon he's that great. Or do you leave...
I actually wouldn't say that part. No,
no,
no, not this kid.
But, I mean, is your job to say to the board, right, this is our TPP, this is what we've got made available now with the increase in the CBA. We've got these retirements coming. We've got these people are going to go up. We have got $2 million to spend on a player. Is that what you report to the board?
I see my role really clearly, Robbo, and that is to hold us to account on the course that we've charted.
Twice you've said that, Steve, and it's really interesting. Sorry to cut you off.
Yep.
Because if you jump off that course and it goes pear-shaped, everyone's going to say... Trigg, Silvani, Bolton, you all said you're going to the draft for 3 years, and you just said 18 months in, you're changing the course of your strategy.
Which is why I say that even if we get into a trading scenario and an early pick goes out, it will be for elite youth. It won't be for tricking ourselves that we're on the doorstep. So just to answer your question is, my view is really clear about what my role is, and that is to hold us to account in the overarching plan, is to... be really clear in my leadership about the management of our TPP as we execute that plan, is to have a view and to ensure that we have a collaborative approach around the list management table to rebuilding, redeveloping this list, which I think's on track. But when it comes to an individual decision, I'll have a view, but in the end, Silvani wins. That's his job. Right. That's his job, to get that talent right.
So he's got the opening to the Underground Railroad that goes up to GWS, and who knows what happens with Bryce from here. And I mean, the amount of players. And you've said if you do, it'll be for elite youth. You're making all the noises Stephen, that you're going to Twiggy, that you're going to have a crack at him?
No, there are others around the competition, Derm, that look, I'm just trying to give you an insight to our thinking, not to any particular target.
I wish you'd say yes, because I reckon you'd be right to have a go at him as well.
Yeah, I mean this quite sincerely. I'd love to have a really, let's just open the whiteboard and look at it. But you know that it just doesn't work that way, and it doesn't from the club's perspective. And I mean this is it doesn't help us to be talking about individuals that we might be targeting. I mean, we could talk about today Lever, Cameron. We could talk about a couple of boys in the West. There's a couple coming out of GWS, but it doesn't serve us any purpose to be talking about the individuals. But I'm happy to give you an insight to what our overarching plan is, of course.
Yeah, we know. I think we've got a good handle on your plan. I'm wondering at what point, at what level does a contract have to be ran by the board? At what dollar figure?
Yeah, we...
Or length of tenure?
Most clubs will have a protocol around that. Ours are over $500,000 and 3 years.
Over $500,000 has to be taken before the board. Average wage will be nearly $400,000 next year.
I was just about to say, as the way it's been, as well as 3 years. But we need to review that clearly, and we haven't returned to that given the events of this year with the CBA. So that'll probably rise.
So there
just
hasn't
for
been...
that, can you let's say how many players on your list are over $400,000?
Did you want me to open up the whiteboard?
No, yes. But I mean, people say that the average wage is $400,000. There's not that many blokes.
Well, let's talk about Kelly specifically though, because if you're going to talk about the Kangaroos offering $9 million over 6 years, right? Whatever the figure is, it's an astronomical number. If your level's $500,000, this is going to blow those others away.
I'm just telling you that's a protocol that I'm certain will be reviewed given the circumstances. Yeah. And just bear in mind,
I get that but I'm wondering whether there's just, been
we've reset the list. Obvious. We've reset the list, and we've got a young list, so the pay scale is according to that.
Yeah, which would mean you'd have scope in your payment structure because it is a young list, and a lot of those wages are fixed or coming off low bases. Has there been, if you were wanting to offer a player $1 million plus, what would have to be ticked off?
There's an enormous amount of due diligence you would do for a player of that category, but if you're asking me about whether it goes to the board, of course, at that level it would.
Triggy, I know you've got to get to a function. Bryce Gibbs, is there any? When will you know whether he's going to stay at the club?
Well, I'd like to think I could sit here quite confidently and say now that he'll stay at the club.
So you firmly believe that...
That's great news, Stu.
He'll definitely stay and fulfil his contract.
I don't see any reason to say anything different, Hutto. He's contracted for 2 more years at the end of this year. He's happy. I think part of that's reflected, as you can see, in the way that he's playing. We don't detect the personal issues that led to that issue arising last summer. So I can sit here quite confidently and say that he's a Carlton player next year.
And just last on your coach, Brendan Bolton, obviously we've seen the fruits of his work so far. Do you feel like with this current contractual situation that he'll stay there forever and a day, or could you potentially have to contract him and give him a year's contract, because if he's successful, other clubs will come hard?
I know there's a bit of mystique about this, but I'll try and be really clear. Yes, it's a different form of arrangement, but there are protections in there in terms of periods of notice that protect both him and the club. It just doesn't have a sunset on it. That's all. And to the point, and I'll talk through you guys to the Carlton supporters and members out there, there shouldn't be a worry at all about poaching, given both the structure of the agreement that we have with him and the relationship that we have with him, that says if something like that happens, Hutto, I'm 100% confident he walks into my office and says, got an issue, can we talk about it? So on both fronts, we're really comfortable with it.
The character of Brendan Bolton, it is unimaginable.
It is.
Unimaginable that he has gone down this path with a football club. It's his football club as coach, and he walks in after 2 years and says, Triggy, I've got a really good offer. I'm going I'm going somewhere else. Thanks.
They haven't got time to discuss that. They're going through all the player contracts. They're over 500,000. Half the meeting.
It partly does. I was just thinking about that conversation. It's partly reflective of how, as a board and everyone, we're in this together. Yeah, and Robbo, I really appreciate your point, because it's right in terms of the observation of his character. And I know it sounds like a bit of motherhood, but my point about him walking to the office and saying we've got to deal with something is a heartfelt reflection that we are all in this together, a united front. So, again, to Blue supporters and members, be really confident that that we're in this for the long haul together.
I've got to say, from the outside, it certainly feels that way, Triggy. Thanks for joining us. Good luck today. Big game coming up.
Thanks, boys.
Good luck.
The Blues play the Crows. It's you'll hear it live on 11:16 SEN, the only Melbourne radio call of that game. We'll take a break. Next on the agenda, Nathan Buckley.